You know, when the group first started, I know, like a lot of the groups we were part of, I would say we were more exclusive without even being aware of it. A more limited view of who God was and where he was and what he was doing. I've been so blessed in just thinking about over the years how we've opened, as many have, to the working of the Spirit. And God has been able to change our hearts and our minds about a lot of things. All of a sudden, the exclusiveness begins to melt away into a more inclusive attitude. And we realize during that time how much bigger God is than we thought, how he doesn't live in the confines of our own limited human thinking or the little religious boxes we built for him. But God's been able to open us up to his movings and how there's no way we can comprehend how great that is and how much that includes. This work has been a humbling work. In order to allow God to do that, you have to be willing to let God deal with your prejudices, your pride. And over time, that's probably been one of the major things, hasn't it? The Spirit challenging us to open up, open up. But that same period of time, there have been certain occasions where we've had to deal with things that did not belong. It wasn't a matter of being more inclusive. It was a matter of looking at something and saying, this does not belong here. That's been a lot more rare. But the reason I'm saying all this is we're dealing with that right now. We have a situation where with the Lore property and with Iwan that simply does not belong in the framework of what God wants for this body. And we're in the process of dealing with that. At first, it just seemed like a negative circumstance. We have someone, Iwan, living down at the property with all kinds of junk that doesn't want to leave. But really, it's always been more than that. It's actually more than a negative circumstance. It's a spiritual problem. Iwan has always been very connected to the soil. That's been his ministry. I mean, here on the grounds, and that's what he does. He's creative that way. And at a certain point, I think with him, he felt he owned that property. And it's really been a resistance of who does it belong to? Well, it belongs to the group here in Living Springs, and more importantly, it belongs to God and his purposes. It's his lordship we're submitting to. And so this has been a spiritual battle as far as one individual wanting to say, no, this is mine, I'm going to do what I want, and us having to deal with that. And in a sense, exclude something that is affecting the Spirit here. It's affecting people here. As a shepherd, I've been very frustrated because I know the drain it's been on many of you. And I wish I could just make a prayer or just do one thing immediately and have this thing vanish. But it seems like we've been led in another course, a legal course, which is slow, expensive. But I also know it's going to be thorough. We've also been led in our hearts of how to pray for it. I know there's a good spirit here. There's faith for Iwan and what God has for his life. But it is a situation of tough love. We still have to act and do what's the right thing for Living Springs. So here we are. And I just got a letter from the city planning or county planning. It's interesting. It came to the P.O. box and it says, you're in violation of these different things. I don't know if someone reported us or what happened. And all the things it lists are the things we're going to be doing, getting rid of the shed and all the junk down there, the abandoned car. And if they give us to June 13th to do it, or they start fining us. So you know this is going to be done real quick. The plan right now, and please bear with me, is on May 28th, Paul Pate, I think, is taking responsibility of getting a big container in here. And I think we're working before that, some maybe today and next weekend. I would like to see this whole thing finished by Memorial Day weekend. And for anyone that can be involved, I think you see it probably different than just a work day. You know, really, it's part of a ministry because it's almost like something's being taken away from us. And we're realizing, wait a minute, that doesn't belong over there. It belongs here. Pluck a thorn from your side day. Yes, very much so. So I know everyone here is burdened for it. I'm also frustrated in that very weekend, Nika's got her last major competition up at the Disneyland Hotel, and I won't know whether I'm going or Anna's going. We lost a worker at our shop, so if she has to stay, then I have to take Nika up. I won't know till a week before my schedule that weekend. But I definitely want to be involved with this. And again, not because of work. We can just, in fact, we may need to hire other people to work. But I think it's just something we're doing is kind of reclaiming back what God has given us. So there's a spiritual side to all this. So all that to say, we need to have this organized. If we get it done by the May 30th, which is Memorial Day, that Monday, what a wonderful thing to look out and see all that gone. Now, a lot of the plants that will be going, whatever, that we can take time for. We're not in violation of having plants there. It's all the man-made junk. So how are we working this? And I'm concerned about Fred. He's been really, from the beginning, has taken the major burden, and Joanna with dealing with it and with prayer. We want to bless both of you because this has been a battle for you. This property belongs to Jesus Christ, his Lordship. That's been our commitment, as your lives do. And we just minister strength to you right now that, Lord, we're standing on your authority. We're not standing on our reactions, our emotional reactions to this whole thing. We ask for your authority to deal with it the way you want to deal with it and to strengthen and refresh Fred and Joanna and all here that have been drained by this. Lord, we draw those seasons of refreshing from your Spirit and the immunity that comes from your Spirit. Amen. Do we have, as far as organ?
Soul, and we sing an a cappella here. Follow along. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire and thy long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone doth my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire.
There's something of a spiritual life that God is looking to bring forth in the earth. And that purpose and plan of God has been throughout all of human history. The regrettable thing is that in so many ways, we've missed it. But in every generation, there's been the truths and the principles, line upon line, precept after precept, of restoration coming forth slowly but surely. And in this hour, it is so very, very important that we have a sensitivity to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The Word is true. All right? This is the Word of God. This is the Bible for the Jews and for the Christians. It's one Bible. It's not the Old Testament just for the Jews and the New Testament just for the Christians. It's one God, one truth, one Bible that reveals the glory of God and the plan of God for the human race, for planet Earth. And we, by the Spirit, are coming alive to what those things are. Could we just believe this morning in every way we can take another step in our lives with Him? Because we know that we can't change. It's the power of the Spirit that will change us. It's the power of God in our lives that's producing the change. So Heavenly Father, we open up to the power and to the presence of God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, who has loved us before the dawn of all creation, and who is in him is hidden all truth, light, revelation, knowledge. We acknowledge you as Lord over our lives. We acknowledge you, Lord, over the universe. We acknowledge you, Lord, over this life. Hallelujah. And we worship you. with all of our lives. David asked me to bring out a little bit what happened at this year's Passover 2005. I had the privilege of attending the Passover on behalf of, shall we say, the body here in San Diego. It was a great blessing. We know how much it was to see those folks. So many of them blessed us in January, but it was great to be a part of the moving of the Spirit there. And in that light, this word then is shared this morning, albeit a few weeks after. And we can sense in the few weeks that have come since the Passover, even the change that's occurred since then. How many of you are now sensing, just be honest, you don't need to raise your hand, but just a greater awareness of the Lord, a greater sensitivity? Things are coming more clearly to you, maybe as you're reading the Word, a little more clarity in the Word in your private devotional life, a little more need to pray, to have that intimate fellowship with Him. Can you say in your hearts that's been growing? I trust that it has been. I believe that it has been for the body of Jesus Christ in the earth. Why? Because the Spirit's moving into the unwrapping and the unfolding of the kingdom of God. In my opening statements, I said that the kingdom of God has forever been preached. And when Jesus Christ appeared about 2,000 years ago, behold, I am the kingdom. Behold, the kingdom is in your midst. Now, albeit the manifestation of that kingdom has yet to be realized, but we can say that the truths of the kingdom, the unfolding of the kingdom, are becoming more real to each life. There's been more of an expression of the principles and the glory of God being revealed to His people. I think in this hour, it's one thing to know about the Lord, and you're here because you want to know the Lord. And that's the thing that all of us are after, to have the reality of the principles of God real for each life. The spirit of the Passover would like to basically focus today on one chapter, and that will be Joshua chapter 5, more of an expository message, if you will, teaching out of the fifth chapter of Joshua. But it'll be important for us to take a look at some of the Passovers that occurred prior to this Passover with Joshua as he entered in to the promised land. The first Passover delivered them out of Egypt, and well over 1 million people came out of Egypt, which marked really the end and the beginning of many things. I guess it kind of depended on where you were at, whether it was the end of something or the beginning of something. Certainly for the Egyptians, every family was touched by the end of something. For the Israelites, the Hebrews, boy, it's a whole new day of a new beginning, because now they're no longer slaves. They're free. And what does that mean? It was the beginning of something for them. In this hour, we're understanding more and more that the principles of the kingdom of God are really brought out in the Old Testament. And the New Testament is more of the processes of how the kingdom is established. I'd like you to think upon that very, very closely. So as we study the Old Testament, so much of it, although it was on a physical plane, has spiritual applications for us today. Isn't that correct? The Old Testament said, under Moses, thou shalt not kill, right? The New Testament under Christ said what? If you think upon your brother and you hate your brother, you've already killed your brother, elevating it to a spiritual level. Okay? The Old Testament says, you shall not commit adultery under Moses. What does Jesus Christ say? If you've thought upon a woman to lust after, you've already sinned. So we're seeing that the Old Testament, though it dealt on a physical plane, established the principles of godliness on a higher plane. Are we getting that? All right? Maybe not. But we're going to get into it here, and hopefully this will be unwrapped here for us, okay? All right. So although the Passover with the blood of Christ on the door, with the Passover lamb on the door, symbolized what? The blood of Christ. So you can see that, all right, on a physical plane, but there's spiritual applications there for us. God help us to see that. The first Passover definitely brought deliverance. Well, could we say not then in our lives, with the application of Christ's blood on our life, what does it bring to us? It certainly brings deliverance. Now, most Christians, however, stop with just that. I'm cleansed by the power of the word. Beautiful. But that wasn't all that the blood brought. True? The blood brought all of the promises, all the provisions of Christ that we might inherit in a oneness with him, everything in Christ Jesus. So if we just settle for salvation and the cleansing of the washing of the blood by the word of God, that's wonderful, but it's just an aspect of the whole maturity and the perfection and the oneness that we as created human beings were meant to have with the Father through the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're getting it. We're here because we want the maturity. We want discipleship. We want sonship. We want to come into all the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ so that the blood of Jesus Christ will have its full process of completion within us. Right? Amen. Although the blood brought them deliverance in the Old Testament, they still, did it get deliverance completely in all of their lives? No. That's regrettable. Because the power of the blood was to bring them into completeness. Deuteronomy 6:23 says the purpose of them being delivered was that he might bring them into the promised land. It wasn't just to bring them out of something. The plan of God in today is not just to bring us out of being freed from sins, although that's the plan of God in deliverance. The plan of God is to bring us into himself. So let's not settle for coming out of Egypt. Even though there's a lot of Egypt in this life to get rid of, I can tell you that. So the deliverance and the power and the plan of God is that, yes, we would be delivered and be saved, but be saved to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen? That should excite us. Amen. Numbers 11:29, don't turn there, just note it if you would, speaks about, would that all the Lord's people be prophets. Well, all of them weren't. But would that all the Lord's people be prophets. The promise is there. Would that all the Lord's people be prophets. Exodus 19:16. He's created a kingdom of priests, a holy nation unto himself. Well, we don't see that. But here again, the Old Testament is describing what will take place. The principle of the kingdom of God, a family of people, kings and priests coming forward, as Peter talked about later. A royal priesthood coming forth, as Peter talked about in the New Testament, was actually brought out in the Old Testament. Okay. As the Passover went through time and the Israelites experienced the Passover, now they had been delivered from Egypt, they were experiencing in the wilderness then a transition period. Does anyone know how long it takes to get from Cairo?
About 7 days.
Yeah. They say it's an 11-day journey. That's exactly right. Well, if I'm not mistaken, last I read, it took them about 40 years. All right. So you wonder what was going on for 40 years when it takes 7 to 11 days. You know, sometimes we in our lives, we have to go through a wilderness. In other words, in order to get over there, you got to go through here. And sometimes going through here is kind of rough water. But a great transition period has been going on in the history of the church for some time. And we can all look at our lives and say, wow, you know, we've been through the wilderness, haven't we? I thought I got behind that desert. I thought I got behind that forest. I thought I got through that swamp. And then God seems to bring us into other areas. But it's a process of growth, maturity. He's bringing us out of ourselves so that he can bring us into himself. And that's what the whole process of the Passover lamb and power and blood of Jesus Christ is all about. As time moved on, they got to the edge then of the promised land, right, under Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now Joshua's there, going to enter into the promised land. And we're going to take a look in Joshua chapter 5 of what the Passover under Joshua is all about. It's a conquest and the possession of all that God had promised for them. Let's take a look, if you would, with me, please. Joshua chapter 5. Wow. Okay, picking things up in verse 2, if you would. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourselves flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. For Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeah-Harloth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came up out of Egypt, who were males, all of them were men of war. They died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. Okay. Although everyone experienced the Passover of Egypt and the deliverance from slavery into freedom, if you will, all right, it doesn't appear as though many of them got the Egypt out of them. And even today, as the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached, we're getting rid of a certain amount of the old flesh and the old man, but how much of the life of Christ is being filled within us? And how completely have we come into all the promises and all the provisions of Christ? We can say probably, well, maybe a little short in that area. But by the grace of God, his plan is to bring us all into all the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this is a matter of appropriation. It's a matter of appropriation. It's a matter of appropriation is a big word that's take it. It's yours. And that may be in the vernacular, maybe a better way to say it. But the Christian should be the most aggressive, hungry people to appropriate, as we understand the principles of God, because we know in our flesh we can do nothing of ourselves, which Jesus has told us, you can do nothing of yourselves, but in me you can do all things. All right? So it's been strengthened by the power of God. In the power, in the life of Jesus Christ, I can do all things. I can come into all the fullness of the fulfillment of the promise through him who lives and abides in me and whoever lives to make intercession for me. So it's a matter of appropriating the promises and the provisions. That's why the Christians should be the most aggressive appropriators of the promises and the provisions. You with me? Amen. Okay, so millions came out. Millions were delivered. Actually, about probably 1.2 million. 600 males, so we figure there must have been an equal number of females. So about 1.2 million people. But as we learned about 2 weeks ago under John, how many people were ready to possess the promised land out of 1.2 million people? Exactly right, two people. So, just because you're exposed to the teachings of the Lord, which they were for 40 years in the wilderness, just because you're exposed to the miracles of the Lord, I think it was a miracle to have a cloud by day, a miracle to have the fire by night to keep them warm in the desert, and it was a miracle every morning to wake up for food. That's not a bad little life going on there. Okay, walking through sand a little bit, maybe got a little boring out there, but the clothes never wore out. There were some advantages to it, if you will. The difficulty is, even when you saw and see and are exposed to even the teaching, even the miracles, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to come into the promised land. But by the grace of God, we stand with this spirit of Joshua. And this is the great thing that I'm trying to minister this morning. The great spirit of Joshua and the keys we're going to look at Joshua's life are examples for us on whom the ends of the ages have come. The scriptures are written for us, right? As examples for us. So the greatest thing we can do is to go back and find, how did these men know the Lord? A lot of people in the world, they know, maybe don't know a lot about God, but they may not know God. You can read this Bible cover to cover and memorize every word. That doesn't mean you know the Lord. It means you've memorized a lot of scripture and had a lot of discipline, but it doesn't mean you know the Lord. We're interested in knowing the ways of God. And this was the key for Moses. This was the key for Joshua. We know that he abode in the temple by day and by night. Joshua chapter 1. The secrets and the fulfillment of his life were found in his dedication to abide in the presence of the Lord. That's the key, dear ones. Because abiding in the presence of the Lord will allow you to see things as God sees them, not as the world sees them. We know that we are not of the world, although we live in the world. And it's very, very easy to have a co-mingling of God's plan, God's reality, and a lot of the flesh. We all can say that. But we're interested in becoming this holy priesthood, this holy remnant of God that's rooted and grounded in the principles of the kingdom of God, which is the lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives. All right? Some blank stares. But I'm hoping that this word is getting across to our lives. It's real. It's got to be alive for us, okay? We've got to be able to have it experienced in our lives. This is why Paul was so... Back up. In everything that's occurred in the earth, of real significance in God, it's always started because of a revelation of God to people's lives. I cite this example, Adam and Eve. They walked and talked with God in the Garden of Eden. What a tremendous beginning for a creation, for beings. We are beings. What a tremendous creation to know that God has walked and talked with our ancestors. That's pretty amazing. I want that. I know that you want that. What about when God says, I'm going to bring deliverance. I'm going to destroy a nation, Egypt, and we're going to bring deliverance for the children of Israel. What did he do? He met Moses. It became real. In the burning bush, God was revealed to Moses. What about Joshua? We're going to see here at the end of Joshua chapter 5, the great conquest of the possession of the realm of the kingdom, a physical realm of the kingdom then, came because Joshua met the Lord with a drawn sword. I'm saying all that. Paul's ministry himself. Here's a man that was filled with hatred, motivated to stand at the feet of someone else slain, Philip. He was holding the coats that the people were doing hearty approval of. Here a man was met by God and had a complete change of heart. And out of Paul's ministry came the establishment of the church. I'm saying all that to say that as we're embarking on the fulfillment of God, the plan of God, as the kingdom of God is coming forth, it's going to take no less of this great witness of a revelation and a meeting with God to our lives as it took with these people's lives. They're written as examples for us. We're here today because we're not interested in playing church. We're here today because we're looking for the Lordship of Jesus Christ to be real to our lives and to have that reality so burning in our lives that we become the emanation of Jesus Christ. You recall in Paul and his ministry going on, he spoke to the Galatians. David brought it out last week, subtly. I took note of it, though. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has publicly been portrayed as crucified. Paul had a way of so speaking the life of Jesus Christ that he received by revelation, Galatians chapter 1, right? To speak to the people that he could literally create before the people's spirits, this crucifixion, this reality of Jesus Christ crucified for them, and what that reality meant. I also reference you to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Since you're seeking proof of Christ who speaketh in me, read that chapter again. He was so filled with Christ that as he spoke, he was speaking the word of the Lord. This is where we need to get ourselves. It's being so filled with God because of the revelation and the closeness of that revelation of our lives with him, the truths of what that is to us, revealed to each and every life, that out of our lives comes the words, the actions of Christ moving through you. Amen. 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 So, all this then is how we stand before the Lord, to be exposed, to appropriate his life, all right? To be filled with his life, because as we can see here, just being exposed to the teachings of the Lord doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's got to be real. It's got to be living within our hearts so that you become the epistle read and known of all men. You become the word of Christ. Rather than just a book, this is just print on a page. It's nothing unless it becomes written in my life. The book reveals Christ. The book reveals Christ Jesus. We must see Christ Jesus in the book, in the reading. Unless your devotional life is that, we're missing it. We're just reading, reading, reading. There's great discipline in many religions of the world, and it's just amazing how some of these people can be so disciplined for the pure sake of discipline. I'm impressed with it. But I'm thinking, in my own devotional life, it's got to be real. It's got to come from here and land in here to live, burn, and live in my life. We all want that, don't we? And that's what this whole spirit is about now, I believe, as God is unveiling and paving for us the road into glory. We know that, we sense in our spirits, don't we, that the return of Christ Jesus, by golly, if he ever needed to return, it seems like he needs to return now. Things are just not getting any better fast enough, we can say, right? And I know every generation has kind of felt that, but there are many things that I feel that point, we're getting I guess it's becoming more narrow, maybe we can say that. But nevertheless, the kingdom of God comes line upon line, step by step, precept upon precept. One of the great chapters in the Bible that began, I feel, some of the opening of what we're speaking about now, about 55 years ago, much, much longer than that even, Mark chapter 4, of how the kingdom of God comes. We won't go into it today, but the kingdom of God comes first with the blade, and then the maturity process comes. So the kingdom of God is an unfolding progression of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the earth. All right, so we get a little bit beyond ourselves there for that. But speaking about verse 4, let's go back to Joshua. There we are. Our Joshua. All right. Hope I didn't scare off that couple. Maybe they had another commitment here, but we're speaking words of life here. We trust the Holy Spirit's illuminating it for each life, of something of value for each life. We left off with verse 4, and let's go to verse 6, just continuing on, basically. For all the people who came up out of the wilderness, that's verse 5. Verse 6, for the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is the men of war, who came out of Egypt perished, because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord,